Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
Okay, this has nothing to do with today's show, but we need to talk about this moment on the House floor from Representative Sean Casten. I need you to watch the video. Sorry, I sent it to you. If you have 30 seconds, I need you to watch this video.
I rise to continue our celebration of hot FERC summer. As climate activist Fergie would certainly say, the FERCalicious definition is to make our planet cooler.
He's kind of saying the words, but I don't think his heart's in it. I think his staffer put him up to it.
So listen up, y'all, because this is it. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, better known as the F to the E to the R to the C. FERCalicious definition, make them boys go
loco. You don't think he's feeling it?
No, I think it was one of those things that probably sounded funny when they were off the floor. And then as soon as he got on the floor, he's like, what am I saying?
Getting your electricity from the lowest cost reliable source, FERCalicious.
I'm Carlos Prieto. This is Politico Energy. And today, Ben LaFave on, not FERC, but the possible end to the Nord Stream 2 saga. It's Thursday, July 29th. I have a challenge for you. In 1 minute, can you remind me what Nord Stream 2 is and what's been the whole controversy around it?
Nord Stream 2 is a pipeline that had been proposed years ago, would connect more Russian gas fields to Western Europe. Basically, from the European side, the Ukrainians didn't want this because there's already a pipeline connecting Russian gas to Europe that goes through Ukraine, and they kind of get money from, you know, tolling over there. On the U.S. side, there's been bipartisan opposition to it, saying that basically this just puts more money into Russia's coffers. But the sanctions that were unveiled during the Trump administration never really got put in place. I mean, then by the time Biden got into the White House, Nord Stream 2 was pretty much finished. So they said, screw it. You know, let the cards fall where they may. The pipeline's done. And the Biden administration has said, we're not going to follow up with that.
Okay, so we have the U.S. not wanting the pipeline, Ukraine not wanting the pipeline, Russia wanting the pipeline, Germany wanting the pipeline.
Yeah, during the first few months of the Biden administration, they said, you know, we're totally against Nord Stream 2. But I think as they saw how near to completion this pipeline was, they kind of like threw up their hands and said, what's the point of sanctions? It's just going to make Germany mad. So what they came out with recently was kind of a statement saying, we will drop our opposition to Nord Stream 2. And in exchange, Germany will partner up with us to make energy investments into Ukraine, like probably clean energy investments. So that's kind of where it's at.
Okay. Tell me more about this deal and how does it protect the U.S. interest or, you know, prevent the things that the U.S. was fearing would happen with Nord Stream 2 from actually happening?
We'll have to see if, it, you know, as the pipeline gets into operation, how well-founded the fears are. The biggest push was saying that, you know, look, we need to punish Russia somehow for its interference in the 2016 elections. And this was a big project that Russia obviously cared about. And basically now is, are we emboldening Russia to, you know, continue mucking about in U.S., you know, either cyberspace or with U.S. elections if, you know, they, for all intents and purposes, got away with it the first time?
In a way, the United States is kind of a third party in all this and a pipeline that goes between Germany and Russia, and the U.S. is just looking after its interests. Another third party here is Ukraine. So can you tell me how the Ukrainian government feels about this deal and what their stake in this whole thing is?
Yeah, the Ukraine government is not happy about this at all. Their position was, look, Russia uses gas or its energy exports as a political cudgel. Ukraine also gets money from the current setup with gas pipeline deliveries. There's a pipeline going through Ukraine right now that would presumably be used less if Nord Stream 2, you know, comes online and becomes like a major carrier. I would imagine Ukraine would want some sort of benefit from this, if, you know, if nothing else, at least getting some investment dollars put into there from the U.S. and Germany. So while it might not be the outcome it wanted, I can't see them turning it down.
Yesterday, Republicans on the Senate Banking Committee threatened to stonewall President Biden's remaining Treasury Department nominees until the administration reverses course on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and implements further sanctions against the project's developers. In a letter to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, the Republican senator said they'd hold up two of the president's picks, Brian Nelson and Elizabeth Rosenberg, given the administration's, quote, failing to uphold its legal sanctions obligations against Russians involved with the pipeline. Also, in case you're wondering where Anthony is,
what can you tell us about this new grid authority?
Yesterday, the bipartisan group of senators announced they finally have an agreement on the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, an actual package that we should be seeing the text of and senators will be voting on soon. And in light of the announcement, Anthony was caught up all day on the Hill.
Are there particular provisions you're excited about in this package? Western water, clean energy?
There's really quite a lot in there.
Getting senators' reaction and more details on what to expect in the final bill.
There are a number of projects that have been in the queue for a long time that are going to be fully funded through this.
We'll be catching up with him on the infrastructure package on tomorrow's show. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your dose of politics and the ins and outs of Washington, join Raghu Manavalan every morning at the Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. In 5 minutes, Raghu will get you up to speed with what's really going on in the nation's capital. Some of the music in today's show came from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Carlos Prieto, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.